Welcome to the Semicolon Podcast. This is a safe place to discuss a variety of topics centered around mental health. I am your host, Ashley McClellan, a social worker who has learned a lot about mental health along the way. I am here to be a voice, to support, and to learn with you all. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Semicolon Podcast. I am not alone today. I have a very special guest with me. I would like to welcome my friend, Darvon. Hey, Darvon.
Hey, lovely. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. Today's been a good day.
That's good. I'm glad to hear. So you all, Darvon and I have been friends for about 9 years now. We met at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and like seriously, we became inseparable. We literally had just about every class together freshman year.
Yeah, we hit it off very quickly, like almost instantly.
Exactly. So before I let Darvon introduce himself, I just want to say that Darvon is one of the most genuine people I have met. He's funny. He keeps it real. And what I love most is his confidence in who he is. So with all that being said.
Yeah, I love you too, honey.
Of course. So can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Darvon Foltz. Like Ashley mentioned, she and I met at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, where we both obtained our bachelor's degree. I have a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism and a PR certification that they offered at the school as well. So upon graduating, I went on to work in finance. So I held various positions at Avant, which is an online lender. So I was a quality assurance analyst and a compliance analyst there. Now I'm currently working in property management for a company called SMS Assist. And I'm currently working as an escalation specialist, so handling any kind of high level escalations from our residents and preparing any kind of reporting and passing along that to the client. So that's what I'm doing now.
Thank you for sharing. And I just want to say how proud of you I am. We literally watched each other tackle undergrad, and it's just wonderful to see where life took us after college.
Yes, we are both doing amazing things. I'm proud of you too, girl.
Thank you. So let's get into the meat of this episode. So just like myself, this has been a rough year for Darvon in regards to his mental health. And what I appreciate the most is that you reached out to me because you knew that I was dealing with my own mental health struggles in like 2018 and also of this year. And that you have also been very open with sharing your experiences. So I know May of this year, you called me before you checked yourself into a mental health facility. So can you talk a little bit about what led up to you knowing that you needed this help and also your experience with being in a mental health facility?
Sure. So I'll go ahead and start off with saying what kind of led me into admission. So I unfortunately lost one of my great friends in early April. They lost the battle with leukemia. So that's kind of what started things. It was kind of unexpected just because they had half a bone marrow transplant. They got cured and, you know, they were sort of going through the healing process. So I lost my friend abruptly. Then I was dating this guy at the time, and we were dating for about a year and a half, and he lost a very close friend to him to suicide, which, you know, directly impacted me because we're dating. So it was one of his best friends. So whatever he was kind of going through, I kind of took that on him as well. But then he ended up breaking up with me right around the time that my friend passed away. So it was kind of like a double-headed sword. I just kind of felt you know, like I was just super overwhelmed with emotion. It's like I couldn't get over one thing without something else kind of happening. And then a week later, after my friend passed away, I lost my cousin to gun violence in Indiana. And then a week after that, someone whom I used to be very close to committed suicide due to depression. So the month of April was just like back to back to back trauma for me, you know. And I felt like I was dealing with it well. I was kind of processing everything and moving along. I mean, I was still sad, you know, but I kind of felt a little bit too okay to have experienced so much trauma. So I had my first panic attack, and I really didn't, my first anxiety attack rather, and I really didn't know exactly what it was. I was on my way to Philadelphia on a plane. This was right, kind of right after everything had happened. And I started, like, I couldn't really breathe. Like, you know, I was sweating a lot, and I like the tremors and everything that kind of happens when you have an anxiety attack. And I really couldn't pinpoint what it was. I had a couple of anxiety attacks on that trip. And so I guess that was kind of the start of the generalized anxiety disorder that I now suffer from. But a couple weeks passed, and so then I started having anxiety attacks regularly, like right before bed. You know, I wouldn't be able to breathe. I would wake up in a panic, the sweating and kind of everything that happened. So I kept going into the emergency room because I couldn't really decipher between that and a heart attack. So I kept going to the emergency room. They kept telling me nothing was wrong medically until a doctor told me, he was like, "I think you're having anxiety attacks." So they started prescribing me all of these different medications, you know, hydroxyzine, Xanax, and things of that such. And I was kind of afraid to take them just because I didn't really know if it'll have any effects on my body. So at that point, I had been woke for like 72 hours. Literally no sleep. I could not sleep at all at night. I literally tried everything from tea to listening to different, like those hypnosis videos that they have online. And I tried various different things and nothing was working. So it had reached the fourth day where I was up with no sleep. And I just really started having like really negative, like suicidal and homicidal ideation. And it started to spiral out of control to the point where I would think about harming myself and other people all day, every day, and it made me very uncomfortable. And so that, on top of not sleeping, was just like I think I just kind of cracked. So one day, I think this had reached like the fifth day of the constant panic attacks and the not sleeping. And I said, "I have to put a stop to this." So the only thing that I could think of that would help, you know, in the short term was check myself into a facility. And I knew once I went there, they would help me figure out how to sleep. And, you know, they would possibly get me started on some medication because it was better to tackle what I was going through sooner than later. So I know someone who works in the healthcare field, and they know a little bit about mental health facilities. So they recommended a Chicago Lakeshore Hospital, which is where I did my 3-day stay. So I reached out to them, and I went in the next day after I registered over the phone, and I checked myself in.
Yeah, I remember you called me before and let me know that you were going to do that. You just wanted to know like how my, experience was, so we was able to, talk about that. So how was your, because of course everybody experience is different. I know my first time there, like I was scared. Like I cried the entire night I got there to into the entire morning, because that was my first time. And of course, Idessa was with me at the time. Like she went with me and my other friend Stephanie as far as to do the assessment. They felt like I needed to be hospitalized, but I was terrified. So what was your experience like?
I won't say I was terrified. I was just more so nervous about how people would react to me because I'm obviously openly gay and I'm just like very flamboyant. You know, I wear women's clothing, I wear makeup, you know. So I was v just very nervous, more so about how people would respond to me. And I also kind of didn't know, the kind of floor I would be on, if they would have me on a floor with people that were violent or, you know, people with behavioral issues. So I was just a little nervous about that. But when I first got there, the first day I was there, I pretty much stayed in my room. I didn't do too much interacting with anyone just because, you know, I didn't really know the kind of response that I would get. But I would say the next day that you know, I was just like, I can't make it through this experience not talking to anyone. So the next day, I eventually went into the lounging area, and they had me on the same floor as people that were detoxing from like drugs and alcohol. Yeah, so I wasn't on the floor with any, not that I know of, anyone that was kind of dealing with like mental health issues. Now, that might have been a combination of things, but primarily the people on the floor were going through the detox program. And so I eventually started going to the programs that they would have throughout the day. And the group sessions, rather, sorry, the group sessions that they would have. And I started getting to know people and getting to know their stories. So I eventually opened up, and it wasn't a really scary experience for me, you know. I got to know a lot of the people that were there that were being treated, and, you know, they helped me to kind of realize, you know, what I was going through was okay. You know, it was common, and that they helped me to feel a lot better prior to checking out. So yes, I definitely had a better experience than I imagined.
And I'm glad to hear that. And it was sort of the same for me. Like the next day, like when I woke up, like I said, I was crying my eyes out, like, why am I here? Like, why did I even do this?
Yes.
And talk to Jamia, talk to Idessa and stuff. I'm like, why did I do this? And then I didn't even eat breakfast. But, they brought up the trays and stuff. I didn't even eat. So around lunchtime, I'm like, okay, Ashley, can't starve yourself. So I did end up eating lunch. And then right after, I went right back to my room. And so then my roommate, because she the same thing, just go eat, come back in the room. So I was looking at the little folder that they gave, of all the different sessions and things like that. And I asked her, I'm like, have you attended any of these? And she was like, no. She was like, I just been in, been here in the room. And then she was like, well, if you go, I'll go with you. And I'm like, I think that's only how we're gonna get up out of here a little quicker. So from there, me and her started interacting more. We started going to all the groups and things like that. So it was kind of a similar experience for me as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we kind of have this storybook vision of what a mental health facility is. So, you know, we kind of go into it thinking, oh my God, everyone's going to be in straitjackets, you know, everyone is going to be going around hitting the nurses. And, you know, it was nothing like that. My experience was nothing like that. I definitely met like real people that were experiencing like real life issues. And from talking to them, I realized that what I was going through was not, it wasn't the end of the world. There was hope, you know, and there was hope.
Exactly. And it was a little different for me because, as you know, as me, with me being a social worker, like I, watch my kids, they have to be admitted to, mental health facilities and things like that because of, wanting to self-harm or behavior needs. And, so, I mean, kids, now from the adults, it is a little different, but these kids cursing at staff, hitting staff, and I'm just like,
Oh my
oh,
goodness.
yes. So So I have been able to see both, you know, when I go visit my kids on the floor, you know, and I'm just like, oh my God, these kids are out of control. But the adults, it's like the adults like are to themselves. And what I like is that, you know, especially where I was at, like everyone participated, like people were willing to be in session and share their stories and give feedback to whatever topic we was discussing. So I really did enjoy that.
That's very true. And also, I was going to make a point about something. Oh, yeah. So I wasn't on the floor. I think I said this earlier, but I wasn't on the floor with the people that were really, like, required a lot of supervision. Now, they did say that the upstairs, you know, was a bit more intense. But I didn't get to experience that. So.
Right.
I'm kind of grateful about that.
Yeah. But it is some, you know, can be intense.
That's so true.
Can you talk a little bit about your diagnosis?
Sure. So I was kind of diagnosed with suffering from anxiety prior to going into the hospital, just from going to the ER every single day. The doctors kind of helped me to realized that I was not having a heart attack. There wasn't anything medically wrong. And I kind of shared with them all the trauma that I had experienced. So they kind of diagnosed me prior to seeing a psychiatrist. But when I was in the facility, you know, they would have the psychiatrist come and visit us every morning. Mm-hmm. So the first morning that he kind of swung by my room, we were talking and we were having a discussion, and I kind of told him about me not being able to sleep, you know, the insomnia, the feeling of having a heart attack and the severe panic. And so he diagnosed me with the generalized anxiety disorder and depression. And he knew I was experiencing depression primarily from the suicidal and homicidal ideation, which is a big part of depression. And so initially when he diagnosed me with depression, you know, we kind of don't correlate depression with like mental health, really. You kind of, in our community, you kind of learned that, like, oh, if you're sad, you're depressed. But I wasn't really aware that it had something to do with your brain chemicals.
Right.
And it was just much deeper than I understood depression to be.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I was diagnosed with severe depression and generalized anxiety disorder.
Okay. And those are my exact same diagnoses as well.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So, as we know, there's a very negative stigma around prescription drugs, and which I get because of the harmful and or deadly side effects, you know. So, I know you were prescribed medication, so can you talk about that? But I know you are also off of medication now, so can you also talk about that transition as well?
Sure. So prior to being admitted to the facility, my primary care doctor had prescribed me hydroxyzine, which is, I believe it's a benzo, kind of similar to Benadryl, but it's used to kind of help you to bring you down once you're experiencing like severe panic. So I was up on that one, but I kind of felt like it was too much of a downer for me, to the point where I didn't want to get out of bed. Like I didn't really have the strength to do anything. So I stopped taking that one. And so once I was admitted to the facility, he prescribed me mirtazapine and trazodone. And also I was taking propranolol or Inderol. But primarily the two drugs that I was being treated with depression for were trazodone and mirtazapine. And so I will say initially getting your body kind of used to taking antidepressants, it can be a bit challenging at first, especially for me. Like the first week I was just like super drowsy, you know, very groggy and irritable. And but once I got used to them, I mean, the mirtazapine was very tolerable. It had some side effects, like I experienced, you know, like some constipation and sometimes dizziness. But eventually, I ended up gaining from May up until I think I stopped taking it in October. I gained a total of 24 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very concerning to me.
Yeah.
And which was in turn causing even more depression.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the sudden weight gain. So, you know, I kind of felt like it defeated the purpose of taking it. I mean, I was sleeping a lot better than before, but it came with so many other side effects to the point where my doctor ended up weaning me off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been off of the mirtazapine for now 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still take the trazodone mm-hmm. just for sleep. The dosage that I'm on is not really treating the depression because the dosage had to be a lot higher.
Wow.
But I ended up being weaned off the mirtazapine because of the weight gain.
Right.
And withdrawing from the mirtazapine has been very challenging, especially when I first stopped taking it. I would get a lot of body aches,
mm-hmm.
like literally, like on like my entire body, which is ache all day,
right.
You know, and that lasted probably for a few weeks. While withdrawing from the medication, and also from withdrawing, I just felt like a detachment from reality. It's kind of like I'm here, but I'm not here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of feel like I'm walking, I'm talking, but I feel totally detached from my body some days, even still now,
yeah.
being 2 months off of the medication. So withdrawing from antidepressants can definitely take a toll on your body because your body is just kind of getting used to not having this very strong medication that it has been dependent on, because I was on it for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to being off of it. So yeah, it's definitely still challenging to this day, but it's like a come too far to turn back.
Yeah. And because I have always been scared to try medication, because like I said, all the, you know, negative things you hear about it. And I know mm-hmm. when I was hospitalized back in 2018, all I kept hearing in my mind is my mom yelling at me, don't take that, it's going to make you even more crazier. You know, just how she just, yeah. you know, presented it, how, you know, I'm like, oh my yes. God. So around that time, because they definitely tried to prescribe me Zoloft back in 2018, I didn't take it. So then mm-hmm. this year, I'm like, okay, well, just probably just give it a try. I'm like, you didn't already had, you know, suicidal ideation back in 2018 to 2019, you still going down the same road. So like, just give it a try. So I, you know, right now I am currently still taking medication, but I, you know, me and you have had many a conversation. I have told you, like, I don't want to be on medication long term because of the side effects. You know, so I am, like, my goal is to hopefully be off by, you know, like the spring or the summer. I know my therapist, she did, as far as her clinical opinion, she don't want me to necessarily go off right now because it's, you know, the winter time, the holidays, and this is when depression and things is more, you know, heightening people. So, I mean, I do understand that. So I think I am going to, you know, wing it out. But I have a story to tell you about the trazodone, because me and you both take trazodone.
Sure. What? Let me tell you something. Trazodone will definitely have you tweaking out. Like, when I first started taking it, I would have like very vivid dreams. And I mean, the mirtazapine can do that too. Mm-hmm. But I noticed, like, specifically when I stopped taking the mirtazapine, the trazodone will definitely have you some strange things going on. But go ahead, girl.
Yeah. So that's what Now, yeah, you're right. I definitely have had some vivid dreams, but so because mm-hmm. as far as my prescription say 1 to 2 pills, and then my psychiatrist also told me to take melatonin as well, and you know that's just over the counter, right? So I take both because mm-hmm. the melatonin helps me fall asleep, but the trazodone helps me stay asleep. And I have mm-hmm. had periods where, like, if I don't take, like, the other night, I had ran out of my melatonin, And that night, literally, I lay down about 10:30. Darvon, I didn't fall asleep till about after 12:30. Like, it was crazy. But so I went to Walgreens the next day. I'm like, yeah, I need this melatonin. So I went to get me a new bottle. And so that night I ended up taking 2 trazodones and 2 melatonin. But it wasn't like I was trying to, you know,
Wrong idea.
When I tell you, I was knocked out for 9 hours. I never slept that long. 9 hours, Darvon. Gone.
Yes, that trazodone is strong. Like, it's very strong. And for me, because my dosage was 150, mm-hmm. and so I tried to go up to 200 mm-hmm. after being off the wrong idea. Mm-hmm. Like, my body did not like that at all. Yeah. Like, I was literally having, like, my face was twitching, like, mm-hmm. muscle twitching. Like, yeah, no. You have to be very careful. Yeah, you have to be very careful with these medications exactly. because you just never know what's going to happen.
That's true. And I'm like, that. It definitely, I mean, I got some good sleep, but I'm like, I don't, mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily, you know, I'm like, maybe I won't do that again, you know. So like I said, my goal is to try to wean off all of my medication by spring and summer because, you know, because it even like, so I talk to my psychiatrist, like during the day, like I'd be tired. So he had prescribed Wellbutrin. So it's just mm-hmm. been sitting at the pharmacy. And so then the other day I'm like, okay, you gonna give it a try or you not? So I went ahead and spent $15. And then when I got it, started reading the side effects and stuff. And then, you know, just like increased seizures and stuff. Like, I never had a seizure, but just seeing like the rapper Juice WRLD, you know, dying from a seizure and things like that. I'm like, oh no. Yeah. Oh no. So it's just sitting here in the bottle. So then I call Walgreens. I'm like, yeah, do y'all take medication back?
And they was like, "Where you? Girl, that's
yes, that was $15, and then they was like, you can't they like we'll dispose it for you, but you can't like return it for like a refund."
Like, it was worth the try. Like, what the hell? But yeah, when I was coming off the mirtazapine, the withdrawals were like so intense mm-hmm. that we were kind of trying to figure out if I was to go back on medication, what I could possibly take, because the trazodone can't be taken with a few of the antidepressants, I believe, because it has an increased risk of something going wrong with your heart or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we looked at Wellbutrin, but I suffered from epilepsy mm-hmm. earlier in my life, and I've had a few seizures, so we have to kind of rule that one out.
Yeah, see, mm-hmm. I'm glad. See, yeah, that's why it's important to do your research. That's
so we were looking into other medications that I could possibly take. So we kind of looked at Zoloft, and so if I have to go back on medications, I think that's the route we'll try. I'm really trying out natural mm-hmm. remedies, like I'm exercising now. Also about to get into like yoga and meditation and just kind of try everything before going back on medications, because I think it'll just create a cycle of dependence. So
exactly. And that's how I feel now, especially like with the melatonin and the trazodone. And, you know, because I'm like, before then, like, I never got like over 6 hours of sleep. And it's like, now I'm getting like 7.5, 8 hours. And like the other night when I took 2 9-hour of sleep, you know. So, but I'm like, I really don't want to become dependent on medication.
I might have to stop. I take melatonin as well, but my doctor, I've been like very irritable these past couple of weeks, and my psychiatrist was telling me that mm-hmm. melatonin can definitely have that effect. So I'm going to try to not take it for a couple of days and just see how sleep goes. But I don't think it'll be a positive outcome, but we'll have to see.
Right. All about trial and error and see what works and doesn't work. And, you know, I've been trying to do some of everything. So, like, this month I have also started back working out, you know, doing kickboxing and, you know, things like that. I've been also into crystal healing and, you know, just trying to. Now, and then the other night I started journaling therapy. So just, you know, seeing what's worked. Mm-hmm. So speaking of, so what, because I always, every time we talk about mental health, I just like to know, what do people do for self-care? So what do you do for self-care?
In terms of self-care, I do some journaling myself. So a lot of the times as an outlet, I'll kind of, any kind of feelings that I'm having, I like to write everything down. Just to, you know, and I write a lot of positive affirmations. So just kind of reminding myself that my situation is only temporary, and that just trying to remind myself of the positive things in life. I also go to therapy. So I have a standing therapy appointment biweekly. And so I meet regularly with her, and she definitely helps to put a lot of perspective. And she's been very helpful through my recovery process with dealing with all of the trauma that I've experienced. Also for self-care, I'm really into like makeup and beauty. So I like to, you know, just kind of watch some YouTube tutorials on skincare and makeup, kind of go in there and just have a little fun myself in the mirror. And I have a very strong support system. So I do a lot of venting to friends and family, as you know, because girl, you know, I'll call you in a heartbeat.
Right.
Kind of talk about what's going on. And so, you know, it's just a combination of things that I do that help me.
Yeah. But that's good that you have, you know, many different things. So people would probably just name like one or two. So it's nice to know. So I, of course, as a friend, I'm glad to hear that, you know. And I just want to say, like, Darvon, I'm just very proud of you. And like I said, what I love most is that you reached out for help, you know. And now with you sharing your stories, I know people then reached out to you. And it's just like, we all have to help each other. I'm like, we all go through things. We all have experienced things. And like I say, no, you know, situation is the same, but a lot of us have experienced a lot of similar things. And like with you, you know, you had a lot of things, you know, leading up back to back, and it was the same for me. And like the most thing for me was also, you know, being involved with somebody for, you know, 2 years, and then, you know, having to let that person go. So, you know, it's just been, life is,
it is. And you know, people kind of have this perception that in order for you to be depressed, or in order for anything to be wrong, like, you know, you can't have it together. Like, you know, you and I are educated, you know, we're gainfully employed, we've accomplished a lot in our lives, and people will say, oh, what do you have to be depressed about? You know, you have this and you have that, and you look like this. And I always have to remind people that, you know, no matter what you have, you can be broken inside, you know, and you know, you can't allow material things to determine your mental health. And so that's why I like to live my life like it's an open book. I'm very open about my struggles with mental health, because people will look at me and think, oh, Darvon looks to have it all together. And I want to remind people that, you know, anyone can be struggling, and I want to be relatable to those that might be experiencing the same things and afraid to speak out about it. And all of the support that I received from people has just been remarkable since going public with, you know, being admitted to the hospital. And also all of the people that have reached out and ask questions about being admitted to a facility and getting on medication, because we're living in very dark times right now, you know, and there are a lot of people that are suffering from mental health issues. So, you know, anyone that needs any information regarding medication, treatment, being admitted into a facility, anything, you all can reach out to me, because I would like to be a resource.
Yes. So you want to give your Facebook or any social media?
Yeah, my name is Darvon Foltz, which is D-A-R-V-O-N Foltz, F-U-L-T-Z. I'm very active on Facebook, so you can add me, send me a message. I have an Instagram, but I don't really use it much. So, yeah, Facebook would definitely be the best way to contact me. And, you know, you can just reach out and say hi if you want to. I'm a nut. I like to talk. And I like to act the fool, as Ashley knows. So.
It's very fun. You having me crying. I'm telling you, you need a good laugh.
Girl, yes. You know, I'm going to call your phone and, girl, and cut a rug. And, you know, I've always kind of been, you know, kind of charismatic and social. And so I find that that's very therapeutic for me. Like, to see other people smile and laugh just, you know, brings joy to me. So.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Darvon, I just want to thank you. I enjoy having you on the podcast. You're always welcome back, because you're actually my first guest that, you know, has talked about medication. So I definitely wanted to have you on, because, like, I know a lot of people do steer away from medication. So I did just want, like, for the people that are taking medication, just to have a little bit of insight. So you are very helpful in that way to other people that may or probably even considering, you know, taking medication. So I do thank you.
Great.
For
well,
that.
Thank you so much for having me. This is very therapeutic for me as well, just to be able to talk about it on a platform, you know, on a shared platform that's going to possibly help someone else. So thank you so much for having me on, Ashley, and I'll definitely be back to give y'all an update on possibly a 3 or 4 months being off the medication, because this 2 months has been a journey, so I can only imagine what the next couple of months will look like. So I look forward to coming back.
Okay, and just to end, you know, I always close out with a quote. So this one doesn't have an author or anyone, but quote I found, but I thought it fit perfectly with today's episode. So it say, that's the stigma, because unfortunately we live in a world where if you break your arm, everyone runs over to sign your cast. But if you tell people you're depressed, everyone runs the other way. That's the stigma. We are so accepting of any body part breaking down other than our brains. And that's ignorance. That's pure ignorance. And that's ignorance has created a world that doesn't understand depression, that doesn't understand mental health.
Wow.
So I thought that was very fitting for today's
episode. And that is
episode.
Very true. Very true statement.
So again, thank you, Darvon, and I can't wait to talk to you all in my next episode.
Bye, guys. Thanks for having me.